invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like for us to study verses 7 down to verse number 13 and make reference to God's faithfulness. God is a faithful God. And that we can take heart in that very fact that God is faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 to 13, it reads, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we are so thankful for your faithfulness this morning. And we pray as we study this passage of Scripture, O God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, encourage us concerning your dependability, your trustworthiness, your faithfulness. May we in turn be faithful until you return. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's review chapter 2 this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've noted in chapter 2 verse 1 that we need to be strong spiritually. We stressed that fact a number of weeks ago. In verse number 2, we noted the fact that we need to invest in faithful men. We need to teach others also, our yearly theme. Last week, in the third verse, we noted the fact that there will be hardship. A soldier will have to endure hardness. If we're serious about growing spiritually, being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and if we're serious about training others, then we'll have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It won't be easy. But also verse number 4 gives us a warning lest we are entangled with the affairs of this life, lest we are ensnared, trapped, hindered, capped with the affairs of this life. As we determine to grow spiritually, as we determine to teach others also, we need to be careful lest we are distracted or sidetracked from doing what God's called us to do. And then we noted in verse number 5 that if a man is to strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And we focused upon the fact that we need to remain within the boundaries of God's Word. If we're to teach others also, if we're to grow in God's grace spiritually, we need to stay within the boundaries of this book. This book is full, it is rich, it is complete. It is the perfect, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And we need to remain within the boundaries of the Word of God. And then in verse number 6, last but not least, we concluded our message the other week by stressing the fact that we need to be prepared to work hard. It's not going to be easy to grow into Christ's likeness.
There will be opposition. And if we're serious about growing spiritually, and if we're serious about teaching others also, it won't be easy. We'll need to exercise patience. We'll need to labour. We'll need to work hard, diligently, as that farmer works the land and works a field in order that one day to receive a harvest. So likewise, you and I need to be prepared to work diligently for the glory of God if we want to grow spiritually and if we want to teach others also. Now, with all that in mind, the Apostle Paul writes in verse number 7, consider what I say. Consider what I say. In light of all that I've said, the Lord give thee understanding. Understanding. Wisdom. Wisdom in all things. By remembering the following. So as we seek to grow in God's grace, and as we endeavour to teach others also, we need to be mindful. We need to be we need to consider the faithfulness of God. We need to focus upon the fact that God is faithful. Note there at the end of verse number 13, it reads, He abideth faithful. Let's say it together. He abideth faithful. This is our God. Our God is a faithful God. He is always faithful. He never ceases to be faithful. He is known as the faithful one. We are unfaithful at times, but God is totally faithful, dependable, trustworthy. He abideth faithful. And as we seek to grow spiritually, and as we seek to train others also, with all that's involved in that, the warfare, the hardship, the testings, the need to stay within the boundaries of God, we need to be mindful that God is faithful. And the Apostle Paul, with that thought in mind, gives us a number of reflections of that fact, I guess for a better word. And he notes first and foremost in verse number 8, the faithfulness of God in the gospel. The faithfulness of God evident in the gospel. Note then verse number 8. Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The faithfulness of God evident in the gospel. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. He is central to the scriptures and specifically in relation to the gospel. And note then verse 8, Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Jesus Christ came into the world through the nation of Israel via Abraham and then via the kingly line of David, fulfilling Old Testament prophecies, and the Word of God is the proof of the faithfulness of God, that God promised the Savior, God promised the Savior that would come from the lineage of Abraham, and God promised the Savior that would come through the kingly lineage of David, and God fulfilled that promise in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the faithfulness of God in the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, that he would be one that would come through the kingly line of King David. And so it was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The faithfulness of God in the gospel, the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of future prophecy concerning this Messiah, that he would come by the kingly line of David. But also note then verse number 8, the faithfulness of God evident in the gospel in that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. This proved his divinity and completed the work of redemption for mankind. That Jesus Christ died for our sins, Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ arose from the dead on day number 3 according to the Scriptures. The faithfulness of God evident within the gospel. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy, the resurrection of a Savior who died for our sins, all the faithfulness of God, and the Apostle Paul makes reference to the resurrection power there, that I might know Him in His resurrection power, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, that's been made possible because Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, He was buried, and praise God, on day number 3, in the power of the Holy Spirit, He arose from the dead. Faithfulness of God in the gospel, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, the resurrection of a Savior who came to die, but yet He said that I will rise again. The fulfillment of that. God is faithful. And then note there also in verse number 8 that the Apostle Paul writes, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. See, this one that came, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, this Messiah, that not only died, was buried and rose again, was personal. It was very personal to the great Apostle Paul. And he uses the wording there, my gospel. It was personally applied to his life. See, my friend, the gospel is available to all. The gospel is available to all. If you will believe the gospel, if you will acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and if you will believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sins, was buried and rose again, and if you are willing to repent of your sin and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the gospel of Jesus Christ can be personally applied to your life. For the Bible teaches us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when the Apostle Paul made the statement, my gospel, he was affirming the fact that God is faithful. His faithfulness is evident in the gospel. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this gospel can be applied personally. It can change one's life, just like it changed the life of the great Apostle Paul. A persecutor of the New Testament church, a murderer, a violent, zealous, religious individual, came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and it absolutely transformed his life for the glory of God. And it was very personal to him. That's why he said, it's my gospel. He wasn't being selfish or greedy or conveying that God is partial. Oh no! For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he's stressing the fact that the personal element, that it's my gospel. It's been applied to my life. Oh, my God is faithful. The gospel is true. I serve a risen Savior. He has changed my life. It's my gospel. Oh, beloved, the faithfulness of God. Evident in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Whenever you doubt the faithfulness of God, just take a moment and reflect upon the gospel. The gospel. Reflect upon the fact that that gospel has been applied to you personally. That's the evidence of God's faithfulness. Consider the fact that Christ not only died, but he arose from the dead. The evidence of God's faithfulness. The fulfillment of countless Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. The faithfulness of God fulfilled in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the evidence of God's faithfulness. But also note then verse number 9, please. Note then verse number 9. Are you still with me this morning? God is a faithful God. It's evident in the gospel. But note then verse number 9. The apostle Paul said, the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. Now, the author writes then, verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble. I am in the midst of difficulty, he's saying. I am experiencing difficulties. I'm experiencing testings. I'm experiencing trials. Beloved, the Christian life and Christian service is rewarding, but it is difficult at times. It is difficult at times. And the Apostle Paul said in verse 9, I suffer trouble, wherein I'm in the midst of difficulties. And then he goes on to explain, as an evildoer, I've been falsely accused of being something that I am not. I'm going through difficulty. I've been falsely accused. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And the Apostle Paul is stressing the fact that I am in the midst of difficulties. I've been falsely accused. Beloved, God is faithful even when we are unjustly treated. God is faithful even when we are unjustly treated. And then he went on to say in verse 9, even unto bonds. What does that mean? In prison. The Apostle Paul said, I've been so falsely accused to the point that I am behind bars. See, 2 Timothy was written from a prison cell, even in bonds. I've been falsely accused, but, thank God for that word. It is a good word. B-U-T, don't underestimate the beauty of that word, but. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Also in this verse, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. I'm behind bars. For what for? For preaching the gospel. But, note the end of the verse, please. Another token of God's faithfulness. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. The word of God will continue to impact people's lives, whether I be in prison or whether I be free. The word of God will continue to work in the hearts and lives of people. And Paul the Apostle rejoices in that very fact, that from behind bars, though he is contained physically, the Word of God can never be contained. It will have effect. Note there in Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah 55, Note then verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. Are you awake this morning? The word of God is not bound. Amen. The word of God is not bound. God's word is powerful. Don't underestimate the power of the word of God. Though you and I be falsely accused, though you and I might be placed behind bars, the word of God is not bound. It will have an effect upon people's lives. That's another token of the faithfulness of God, that His word is not bound. It won't return void. It will do its work. Even from a prison cell, the Apostle Paul writes under divine inspiration this blessed book that we read today, and it still helps us today. That's the evidence the Word of God is not bound. Oh, praise God for that. Praise God for the faithfulness of God. Evident in the Gospel, evident in the Word of God, the Word of God is not bound. Don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. On Wednesday night, we had a gentleman receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And part of this man's testimony was that back in China, he remembers his mother reading the Scriptures to him, reading the Scriptures before him as a child. He still remembers that. See, the Word of God is not bound. And God works in his heart, and he remembers that, and he mentions that. And praise God, last Wednesday night, this man, James, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Glory to God! That's the power of the Word of God. God is faithful. It's evident in the Word of God. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The faithfulness of God is evident in the Gospel. It's evident in His Word that is not bound. And also the faithfulness of God is evident in the ability to endure. Note then verse number 10. The Apostle Paul had a cause. Note there, he writes, therefore I endure all things. I continue under suffering or pain. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So the Apostle Paul refused to quit. He refused to give in. Though he was falsely accused, though he was behind bars, he refused to quit the ministry and to take part in the ministry of reconciliation. And he said, I endure. Why could the great Apostle Paul endure? Because of the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God enabled the Apostle Paul to endure. And he goes on to say in verse 10, for the elect's sake, for those that still need to be saved. Because God is all-knowing, He knows who will be saved, and those that are saved are called the elect. And the issue here is not that God picks some for salvation and not for others. The issue is that those that are saved are positioned. They are referred to as the elect. And the Apostle Paul said, I must endure because God is faithful. Because there are people that still need to be saved. There are still people that need to come to the Saviour. There are still people that need to be delivered from sin, death and hell. I need to endure for the sake, for the elect's sake, for those that still need to be saved. Oh, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Apostle Paul was motivated to keep going because of those in need of salvation. My friend, now is not the time to sleep. My friend, the day is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming again. We need to be diligent in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we need to get out there and deliver the gospel. People need a Savior. People need a Savior. There is no hope outside of Christ. You believe that? Well, if we really believe it, we ought to be proclaiming it. And Paul said, I endure for the elect's sake. Because of the faithfulness of God, I'm going to endure. Because there are people still in need of a Savior. There are people that still need to be saved. See, he had a motivating cause to continue in the battle for souls. It was David who said before King Saul, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Oh yes, there is a cause. The souls of men. Your loved ones. My loved ones, your neighbours, my neighbours, your community, my community, your country, my country. I endure for the elect's sake because of the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God motivated the Apostle Paul to endure, to keep pressing forward in the proclamation of the gospel. Note there at the end of verse number 10, it reads that they may also obtain, See, salvation is not exclusive for just a few. Not just for a select few. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The issue as to whether a person is saved or not is an issue with that individual. God's salvation is available to all. We're responsible to proclaim that message to all. And my friend, if you're here this morning without Christ the Savior, it's your choice. It's your deliberate choice. And you will die in your sin and go to a Christless eternity called hell, and it'll be your fault because you've refused God's gift of eternal life. My job as a preacher is to proclaim the fact that God wants to deliver you from sin, death and hell, but you need to repent and receive Him as Savior. And my friend, that's your job as well. For those of you that are Christians this morning, it's your job as well to proclaim that same message. They may also obtain. Also obtain. We're not secretive. We're not a secretive club. We're not the Masons, a little click club that has these little codes and isms to get in. No, we're part of the family of God, which is in heaven and upon the earth. The more the merrier for the glory of God. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to endure because God's faithful. I'm going to endure because there are more people that need to be saved and they can share this eternal glory. Oh, it'll be glory, will it not? To be in the presence of Almighty God. To be delivered from sin, death and hell. What a glory! You've got that message of glory. God help us to deliver that message. What are you doing this Thursday night? Why don't you come into Chatswood? The place is swarming with people. Swarming! You can stand by the side and give out the gospel. The Word of God that is not bound.
God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Apostle Paul desired that same hope for others. Therefore he endured, because God is faithful. And this takes us to verse number 11 in our passage of Scripture. And we note some faithful sayings, some trustworthy sayings. The gospel is the evidence of God's faithfulness. Verse 8. The word of God is not bound is further evidence of God's faithfulness. The Apostle Paul's determination to endure is further evidence of God's faithfulness. Now, last but not least, God's faithfulness is evident in His promises, in His specific promises. And He notes a number of those promises from verses 11 to 13. And He sums them up by saying, this is a faithful saying. Singular. This is a faithful saying. And note there in verse number 11, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. See, God is faithful. His faithfulness is evident in His promises contained within the Word of God. And there are countless promises within the Scriptures. Thousands of promises within the Holy Scriptures. Somebody should write a book on all the promises contained within the Scriptures. That would be a good project for somebody. And one of those promises is that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. This is in reference to that new life in Christ Jesus. When you and I died with Jesus Christ spiritually by spiritual birth, we've been raised to newness of life. The promise of new life. New life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a promise. That's a promise. So we have a faithful God who keeps his promises. And the Bible teaches us if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. The Bible talks about a new resurrection body that we'll receive. When Jesus Christ comes for his own, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we which are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 teaches us that we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Changed. What a promise. Thank God that we're getting a new immortal body. Praise God for that. I know that yours, mine's slowing down. Frustrates me to no end. The new life in Christ. We'll be dead with him, shall live with him. Another promise in verse 12. Are you still with me? Look at verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. God will reward our faithfulness. If we're prepared to suffer for his cause, God will reward us. The Bible teaches us in Romans 8:17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, listen carefully, that we may be also glorified together.
Go to Revelation chapter 2, please, for a moment. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. Revelation 2:10, it reads, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." God will reward our faithfulness. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. The principle of God honoring our faithfulness. For those that are not willing, for those that are not willing to suffer for Jesus Christ, they will lose potential rewards. If you're not willing to be a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will lose eternal rewards, my friend. If you deny Him, He will deny you. No, not of salvation, but of eternal rewards. If you suffer, you shall reign with Him. If you deny Him, He will deny you. The principle of loss of rewards. Oh, my friend, let me encourage you to be willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Church history is stained with the blood of the martyrs from the time of the Lord Jesus Himself. People that were willing to shed their blood for Jesus Christ. And God is faithful. If we suffer, we will reign with Him. God will reward faithfulness. And may God help us in 2016 to get a little bit more bolder in preaching the gospel of Christ and being willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Otherwise, if we deny Him by our lack of witness, He will deny us of future rewards. The promise, new life, the promise that God will reward our faithfulness. Last but not least, look at verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I'm almost done. And all of God's people said, Look at verse 13. This verse has been such a blessing to me for many, many years. If we believe not, He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Amen. If we believe not, is it true that you and I at times are unfaithful? Talk to me. If I was to ask you to raise your hand if you were unfaithful to God at some point in your life, all of us would put our hands up. You'd be a liar if you didn't. You'd be a liar of the first degree. You'd probably need to be saved. All of us have been unfaithful at times. Every single one of us. And we will continue to be unfaithful at times. But God abideth faithful. God abideth faithful. He will stay true to His word. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. God will honor His word. In our unfaithfulness, God is faithful. Blessed be God. I think back to when I was saved at the age of 14.
And for the first couple of years of my Christian life, I didn't grow. In fact, I was unfaithful. But yet within those couple of years, I was mindful of the presence of God. I was mindful of His faithfulness to me. Even though I wasn't living for Him, He was still true to me. I was still a child of God. I still had that hope. I still had that assurance. And I remember as a young 17, 18-year-old young man reading my Bible, and I read that verse and I just fell apart. I thought, God is faithful. God, I've been unfaithful to You for the last 3 years and You've stuck with me. And I've never forgotten it. Never forgotten that. The faithfulness of God. Even though at times we are unfaithful. Oh, God is faithful. It's evident in the gospel. It's evident in the fact that God's word has no limitations. It's evident in the fact that the Apostle Paul said, this motivates me to endure. And then it's evident within the promises of God. The promise of new life. The promise of eternal rewards. The promise that even though at times I'm unfaithful, God is faithful. Oh, He's worthy of our praise. He abideth faithful. And may this motivate us to be faithful to our God. Let's bow for prayer.